And now, Kindelach, I'll tell you a special story about the candles that saved. And this story takes us back to the year Tovshin Lamed Daled, Eretz Yisrael. And the Halik day of the year in Yom Kippur, there was a war that broke out, the Yom Kippur War, where Mitzrayim, Egypt, and Syria attacked the Yidden. And even though the Yidden won in the end, many, many Yiddish soldiers lost their life, and many, many thousands were also injured very badly.
What did they have?
No, some people were killed. A lot of soldiers were killed, like... And some soldiers...
Could they get an exemption if you're not learning Torah?
If you're not learning Torah? There's different rules, whatever. We're not getting into that now. One of the injured people was a Yid.
Like,
by the name...
It'll be bad injured?
All different levels. Some people are very bad, some people not as bad, some people small.
Some people could cripple, like, let's
see,
yeah,
some people lost...
Some people just have, like a broken arm.
Right. So one of the soldiers that were injured, his name was... Shonk, a lot of your questions will be answered as you go along, okay? Was a man called Mr. Sadan. And Sadan was laying in a hospital called Asafa Rufe, which is in a place called Srifin. It's near Karachabad, actually. Now, his wife was actually came from the family of the Alter Rebbe. And... she was not really connected so much to Yiddishkeit already when she was young. But she still kept a connection with the Rebbe. And she used to write the Rebbe, the letters to the Rebbe, and ask the Rebbe's brachas. Every now and then. She knew the Rebbe also comes from the Rebbe. And now her husband was really injured quite badly. So she wrote to the Rebbe about a situation. She asked a bracha, but should we have a refuah shleima? Now, in the same area in the hospital where Mr. Sadan was in, there's another injured person called Shapir. Shapir was a Yid who came from Morocco, and he also was injured very bad. And when he heard that Mr. Sadan has a connection to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he told her the following. He said, look, Mr. Sadan, I have a small, tiny tehillim, which is like 2 or 3 centimeters, very small. Like this small.
And it's still there, small.
But it was very small tehillim. It's an old, old tehillim. He got it in a Yerusha from generations back. And he said, my grandmother...
You can't
read it. I guess you're able to read it. But he said, my grandmother gave me this tehillim after I was injured. And it's very precious to me. And I wanted to ask you...
For our generation.
I don't know. Exactly.
For all the
Doesn't say. Probably more than 2 or 3. So, because I'm still in a very, very dangerous matzev, he still didn't get back to himself and he's still in Sakana, so I would ask you if you could please send the tehillim to the Rebbe. I want the Lubavitcher Rebbe to write in it a few words of bracha and sign on it. And I'm sure like that I'm going to have a refuah shleima. So if you could please send it to the Rebbe and ask him.
Why is the tehillim so precious?
Because it was all of tehillim from their family, for many generations. Every tehillim is precious, especially if it was something so unique. So he wanted the Rebbe to sign on it and send it back to him. So she said, sure. She took the tehillim, she wrote a letter, I guess, with his name and his mother's name, and she sent it to the Rebbe, so the Rebbe could give a bracha and sign it. A few weeks later...
So, Mrs. Sadan was also related to the Rebbe?
Mrs. Sadan, yeah. A few weeks later, Mr. Sadan got Baruch Hashem, got much, much better, and he was able to leave, to go back home. 3 months later... 3 months after she sent the tehillim to the Rebbe, the Sadan family gets a package in the mail. what's in the package? So the package went like this. It was a package that came from the Rebbe. And there's a letter. In the letter, and also there was a little Tehillim of Mr. Shapir. There was an empty page in the beginning, and the Rebbe wrote the first page, which was empty of the Tehillim, a few brachas, very small letters, and the Rebbe signed his name. There's also a letter in the envelope when the Rebbe wrote the same brachas as in the Tehillim, and even more brachas. And the Rebbe signed, probably, and the Rebbe signed his Hilika name. And then the Rebbe wrote in the end of the letter like this, Nunbeis. Nunbeis means postscript. I don't know. Postscript means in addition to the letter. Surely you light Shabbos candles like all, like every kosher Bas Yisrael, like every Jewish woman. And the Rebbe added that even though generally it's not the minig of Chabad Rabbeim to sign right on Tzfar and things like that, because it was Pikach Nefesh, so I signed. So Mrs. Sadan, immediately she got the Tehillim, she quickly traveled to the hospital to find Mr. Shapir. Mr. Shapir already wasn't there. Mr. Shapir went home also. So I found out his address, and I sent him a message that I have the Tehillim, signed by the Rebbe, and if he wants to come, take it. One day, Mr. Shapir shows up at the Saddam family. He was the same Mr. Shapir was just released, and he said, you know, I just actually got home from like rehab to my house. Rehab. After he finished in the hospital, he went to a rehab, which is like, it's not an amateur hospital, it's where you, someone needs to learn how to walk or things like that. So you got a rehab. And after, why did he have to, just for his situation, he had to go to the rehab. Yeah. Now, and I just came home, and I found a letter that you sent to me about the Tehillim, so I was very excited, and I quickly came to get it. My precious Tehillim. Now, actually, on that day, it was Mrs. Sadan's mother's yahrzeit. And she wasn't home because she went to her mother's yahrzeit thing in Yerushalayim. But when she was told that Mr. Shapir is in her house waiting for her, so she quickly went back home. And she took out the Tehillim from the closet and gave it to Mr. Shapir. And Shapir was so excited, he opened up the sefer. And he saw the Rebbe's handwriting, he was mamish emotional. And she explained to him what the Rebbe wrote in the letter to her, that he generally doesn't sign on a Tehillim, but he did it because of Pikuach Nefesh. Oh, close to stuff. Mashapir, when he heard that, he was shining, he was so happy. He said he felt that it was the few words the Rebbe wrote saved his life. And actually, he paid attention that the date that the Rebbe wrote, the date when he wrote those letters, the date that the Rebbe wrote, which date was it? It was the same date that he was released from the hospital.
I went to the rehab.
Yeah.
And I thought that someone had to walk and pick it up herself.
Now, if you remember, Mrs. Sadan had a special instruction from the Rebbe, right? The Rebbe said, for sure, you light candles. But the problem was that she wasn't really lighting candles. Now, b'chlal, days and months and years passed. This is done. That's when they were starting with Tzinashek, and around that time. Anyway, and a lot of people forgot, you know, and they not completely forgot, but they went on, they moved on to with their life. But Mrs. Sadan, she couldn't forget the war. She felt it was bothering her the whole time.
Why didn't she do anything?
Huh?
Why didn't she do anything?
And she only remembered what the Rebbe wrote to her. For sure you light Shabbos candles like every kosher Bas Yisrael. So she said, the Rebbe's saying that I'm not really a kosher Bas Yisrael if I'm not lighting candles. But if I start lighting candles, I'm going to be a kosher Bas Yisrael. But it doesn't make, like, you know, she says, well, I'm going to start lighting Shabbos candles. Already 40 years that I left Yiddishkeit, and I didn't want to be with my grandmother because she was forcing me to, you know, do different things. And now I'm going to start lighting Shabbos candles. I don't like this kind of stuff. And she's back and forth. Doesn't know. She listened to the Rebbe. Or she stayed the way she wants to stay. And she felt that she worked so hard to go get away from it. Now she's going to come back. But finally, she decided. Yeah, I guess when she was young. Finally, she decided. Finally, she decided the side of Kedusha 1, Yetzer Tov 1, and she's going to light Shabbos candles. And she herself described what happened. I made the decision after a lot of deliberation, a lot of thinking, and I was really confused, but when I decided to do it, I said I'm going to do it, so I'm not going to let anything stop me. And that very day that I made the decision, I went, I bought candles, I bought candlesticks, and it was Friday, I was waiting, or it was a little before Friday, I was waiting without patience for Shabbos to come. And Friday came, a few minutes before Shabbos, I was excited and a little confused and uncomfortable. And it was a very, very interesting feeling, all mixed up. I wanted to do the mitzvah, but I didn't know exactly how to do it. I mean, I had actually a lot of neighbors who lit Shabbos candles. I was embarrassed to ask them. I said, oh, you don't know how to light Shabbos candles? Come on, every Bas Yisrael Kasheria knows how to light Shabbos candles. And even if you're not from. So suddenly that minute, I get a phone call. My phone rings. I went over to the phone and I tried to calm myself down so the person on the phone should not notice how nervous I am. And who was on the phone? It was my own son, who was a soldier in the army. He called me and he said, Mommy, I was supposed to come for Shabbos to visit you, but I can't come in the end for whatever reason. And I said, you know what? You call just on time. Could you please call me your chaplain? You had every group, soldiers, they had one soldier in charge of Yiddishkeit. Make sure there's kosher and he makes, all different things like that. So my son said, why do you need the Rav, But he said, please call him. And he said, okay, I'll call. He called him. And when he came to the phone, I asked him, Rabbi, could you please tell me how to light Shabbos candles? So he said, sure. He told me how to do it. He also told me the bracha, and I wrote down the bracha on a piece of paper. And I thanked him very much, and I was getting ready to light Shabbos candles. And with trembling hands, I lit the candles and said the bracha l'hadlik nes Shabbos kodesh. You can imagine the excitement that I felt when I did it for the first time in my life. So I lit Shabbos candles, and I suddenly felt like the Rebbe said, like a real Bas Yisrael Kesheira, like a real Yiddish woman or Yiddish girl who lights Shabbos candles, like all the other Yiddish ladies. And I was actually, not only I was not disappointed, I was very proud of myself that I did it. Next Shabbos, my son was able to come home from the army, and the rabbi, because he saw that I was interested in Shabbos candles, he thought that I'm interested in Yiddishkeit. So my son brought a kit to Shulchan Aruch. And he told me, the rabbi said that this book has all the halachas that you need to know about Shabbos candles. And I did this for week after week, and I felt very happy. And then, and once I got used to it, I was lighting candles one Friday, and I realized something in this room is not really Shabbos day. It's not masim for Shabbos. Like for example, what's this? I have this statue over here, or this picture, which is not so tzniistic. You can't have it next to the Shabbos candles. I don't know, maybe also TV.
A TV probably is really nice.
And little by little, and so I decided one day, when I light Shabbos candles, that all these things shouldn't be in the same room, and I moved them all to a different room. She put them in a different room. I don't know about a TV. It didn't say about a TV, but it just said about different things. Maybe also a TV. It doesn't say exactly what it was. And I was reading more and more in that book that that my son's army rabbi's chaplain told me. And I learned all different new things that I never knew about. And I especially liked the halachas of Shabbos. And I learned, for example, now I said, for you know, I said, and I learned that you can't cook on Shabbos. And I said, you know, it's funny, I light Shabbos candles, and then I go to the kitchen after it's Shabbos, and I start cooking and frying and baking. You can't do that on Shabbos. It's not nice. It's Shabbos. Or look at, you know, the electricity in the room. The Shabbos candles are whispering to me, this is Adan, it's Shabbos, you can't do that. So every Friday, I used to feel very bad when doing all these things that I looked at. And little by little, I learned more and more and more and more.
Why was she a
mitzvah? She was becoming less and less. That's called mitzvah geres mitzvah. Now that she started to light candles, she said it felt uncomfortable to do mukta. And my neighbor saw that I'm getting closer to Yiddishkeit, and she said, "Let me, I'll help you. You know, I don't mind. Please, let me help you." And she taught me. She told me how to, you know, how to, what to do. And all different halachas, I mean, Hagim got a Bas Yisrael, Kesheira needs to know. And I slowly, slowly got closer and closer and closer to my roots, to Yiddishkeit. My neighbor arranged, she told me to call the office of Lubavitch, where they came and kashered my kitchen. Everything, whatever they were able to kasher, they kashered, whatever not, I bought new ones. And they even said they're going to give me half of the money. And of what it costs to change, to get new kelim, right? If someone kashers the kitchen, it's a whole big thing. And finally, after my kitchen was kashered, I finally felt like what the Rebbe said, the Bas Yisrael Kesheira. And that's the end of this special story of the Rebbe. Gute Nacht, Moshiach, now, Chi Hamel.